Lego board. So you have a blank Lego board, or I'm doing a Lego thing, so we're going to use the Lego a lot. And we have this vision of what we're going to build, right? So you start out and you have to have this vision. And then last week we talked about belief as being one of the main pillars or one of the first blocks you need. And Les talked about it this morning in devotions, you know, belief, and it's so important. So if you missed that last week, it'll be on the internet so you can listen to it. And it's basically what I said is if you don't know what you believe, you're going to have an awful hard time standing on it. Or you're going to have an awful hard time building upon that. And I said a lot of Christians, you know, if you ask them, hey, what do you believe? That they think you're asking them, what do you think about baptism and communion? Well, it's so much more than that. And I really broke it down, you know, and I just told you guys, you know, our faith, what we believe about God, affects the entire rest of our lives as far as what we believe or what we have faith in. If you look at the world through a Christian worldview, you can see God everywhere. But if you choose not to believe in God, you can say it's a happenstance or a coincidence or something along those lines. Today, we're going to get into another big building block, and that's confess. But I would like to open us in prayer. Gracious Father, again, Lord, we come to you just humbly, Lord, just in awe of who you are. And God, we praise your name for it. Lord, we pray as we try to find your building blocks of our faith, Lord, that you would reveal a truth to us that we can cling to and that we can build upon so that we can grow closer and closer to you, Lord. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So confess. It sounds almost like an interrogation, almost like I'm trying to get something out of you. Confess. I need you to tell me right now. But the word does have to have a negative connotation, confess or confession. But it also has a positive one. If you were with us Wednesday night, oddly enough, we talked about confession. And it's just neat how the Holy Spirit works. And they got a little bit of a blip of a preview of the sermon of confession. But confess means to declare affirmatively what one believes in. You cannot confess unless you believe. You have to believe to confess. All right? You see how these are building upon one another? Just like Legos. I use Legos because we've all played with them. We all know them. And we know how they work. Our faith is very, very similar. You have to believe to confess, right? And I read one of the verses. We'll get into it again later. But I want you to know now, it means to declare something as true as what one believes in. All right? The Greek word literally means saying the same thing. Okay, that is affirming one's agreement with a particular reality. So I agree that God is God. I'm confessing that to you. God is who he says he is. Okay, does that make sense? That's a big part of confession. It's saying the same thing, or it's affirming one's agreement. We confess we are sinners. We confess we are sinners. We affirm we are sinners. We affirm or confess that Jesus is the Savior. Now, there's two kinds of confessions that occur in the Bible. First, individuals confess that they have sinned, and they're therefore guilty before God. Okay. Second, they confess that Jesus is the Lord. There's a lot of that in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. One confession often leads to the next. Confess, I'm a broken person, but Jesus is the Lord. Does that make sense? In the first kind of confession, one agrees or acknowledges that he has broken God's law. I'm going to be spouting out a whole lot of scripture today. They're not up on the screen. I don't expect you to turn. If you want to, jot it down, look at it later. Some of them are very well-known verses, some of them are not. But I don't expect you to be fumbling around in your Bible. Just follow along, okay? So like I said, the first kind of confession is you agree or acknowledge that you have broken God's law and therefore deserve punishment. That can be found in Romans 6:23. we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, those who were baptized, if you're familiar with John the Baptist, and you can find this in Mark chapter 1, it'll be 4 and 5. John the Baptist would take a public confession of their sins and their repentance. That's next week. All Christians, in fact, must agree that God, that they are sinners. We have to confess that. We have to come to grips with that, that we are not perfect. So often, we try to put this mask on that we are, don't we? We try to hide it. We try to get behind it. And we don't want to confess that, yes, I am broken. I need a Savior. I have fallen short of the glory of God. But you're in good company because so has everyone else except Jesus. And if you confess Him, then that sin is held against you no longer. So before we do baptisms, always we take this confession, this profession of faith. We ask you, do you believe Jesus who He says He is? Do you believe that you need a Savior? And then we will baptize, just like John the Baptist did. We're encouraged to confess to one another as well. That'll be, I think that's in 1 John 1:8 or 1:9. It's close. I'm close. 1:8, 1:9. I'm close. We're encouraged to confess to one another. That's to come to one another and say, hey, look, I'm broken. Are you broken? Good. You want to be broken together? Right? We need this accountability and this encouragement. That I take encouragement to know that y'all aren't perfect either. That we're in the same kind of boat. And we have the same guy steering the ship, and that would be Jesus. But because of Him, we were able to get into the ship. Was it not? Look at that. I was close. And James said, when a Christian is sick, the elders are to visit that person and give him an opportunity to confess any sins. And in the same passage, James urged Christians to confess their sins to one another. There's this, I don't know, it's just this nice sense to understand that it's very, very easy to say something, to confess something. And when Les read the Bible this morning from over there, and if you confess that Jesus is Lord, or if you believe that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Does that not make you excited? Is that not just so super simple? There's not all these other fence laws that we like to put up. There doesn't say, oh, hey, you have to get yourself right before you can confess. No, it says believe, confess. Believe who He is, confess, and say it. Now, I want to look at the second, and it's a more positive meaning of the word, and occurs frequently in the New Testament with respect to affirming one's faith. When Christians confess, they declare as a matter of conviction and allegiance that Jesus is the Christ and they belong to Him. And now, if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verse 32. You can keep your Bible in the New Testament. I won't bounce around too much more. Matthew 10. Verse 32. And the NIV reads, it says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Lord amongst men, he will confess you amongst his Father. So it's very super simple to confess that Jesus is the Christ when you're sitting in church. It's even harder, or it's a little bit harder to confess it when you're at a restaurant and you're praying before your meal. And it gets even harder when someone comes to you and says, your belief is wrong. But Jesus says, if you will confess Him before men, He will confess you before His Father. I want you to understand where I'm going with this is our words are powerful. They're super, super powerful. And then if you read on in 33, wait, where'd it go? But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Not confessing is disowning. Not professing your faith in Christ is saying, I don't know Him. That's disowning Him. And when that happens, He will disown us. So they're powerful, they're simple, but they are important. Super important. So what are we confessing? What is coming out of our mouths? Blessings or cursings? I would tell you that your life is very much dictated by the words that come out of your mouth. The words that are spoken from your mouth. What you say is what you get. In other words, what you confess, you will possess. If the only thing that comes out of your mouth is just negativity and evil and strife, you will possess negativity, evil, and strife. However, if you confess positivity, glad tidings, Christ, that's what you will possess. You guys ever just met those people that are just so super happy no matter what? And I mean, they could be in like just the worst storm of their lives, but they're happy. And it just seems like they have a little bit better life because of their positivity. You know, they don't complain. They're saying, oh, praise God, you know, I'm going through this. I'll be okay. Whereas there's a term in my house, we don't speak whinies. Right? We don't let the whiners come out and play. Because then that just allows you to change your attitude all the way down to, oh, woe is me. You know, this is bad. Well, that's just going to change your complete attitude all the way to where you are so negative that no one even wants to be around you. And that's not confessing or professing Christ. Because we have victory through Christ if you claim it. If you confess it, if you profess it. Using our mouth just like it's an instrument. We could be the clanging of a gong or the gentle sounds of a harp. Just depends on what comes out. You are literally words away from a harvest. Think about that. From a harvest, you're literally words away from a harvest. Flip over to Mark chapter 11. Just go to the right a little bit. I'm going to read you just a little blip. We're going to pick up in 12. You guys are probably familiar with this. The next day, it says, the next day they were leaving. They'd come from Bethany, and Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. What if we're a fig tree? And Jesus came to us hungry and he said, "Let me eat of your fruit." But because of our words and our confessions about one another or about Christ, there is no fruit for him to eat. Now, do you guys know what happens to the tree? He says, you may never eat from it again, right? So pick up in 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they were leaving again, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Jesus says, I tell you, basically, if you confess and you believe in your heart what you're saying, you literally can move mountains from where they are. That's the power of belief and confession. We can do that. Now, I've never seen anyone do it, and I always just say, well, you didn't have enough faith, right? Or maybe, just maybe, that wasn't God's will to move the mountain to your backyard. But the point I want you to see is Jesus came to a tree looking for a harvest, and it wasn't there. If we confess that He is Christ and the Lord, the Savior of us all, and we confess that daily to people around us, I guarantee you there will be a harvest. I guarantee you we will bear fruit. And then that one day, when it is time for Him to harvest that fruit, He will not curse you. He will be able to collect the fruit and be full from it. We have that choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to say and believe the same things as Christ wants us to? Or are we going to allow this sorrow and sadness and negativity ooze from our lips? You're literally words away from a harvest for the Lord. It's not for you. So I would tell you, your words set the tone of your life. Say this, my words set the tone for my life. Are you going to be perfect? No. No. Did you yell at your kids on the way to church this morning? Probably. I'm teasing. But I want you to understand the importance of them. And if you don't like the way things are going today, begin to change what you're confessing. Your mouth should be an instrument of life, not death. Proverbs 21, this is verse 23, it says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Unfortunately, many, many, many of our troubles we do to ourselves. And sometimes we give other people credit for that. We'll give Satan credit, like, oh, you know, this is happening to me, I don't know why. Well, maybe you said something or did something that caused this reaction to happen. A friend of mine on Facebook, he had posted like 9 things Christians should never say. And one of them was, if God brought you to it, He'll bring you through it. And the point was, what if God didn't bring you to that? What if you brought you to that? And God says, I'm going to help you, but you did this. You chose this because of whatever you did and or said. Now, Matthew chapter 12, 36, and it says, this Jesus says, but I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it the day of judgment. If we are confessing idle words, if we are confessing evil or wickedness, we will give an account. But in 37 it says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The same words that will give you eternal salvation will also give you eternal damnation. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll have eternal life. We're gonna look at that scripture in a minute. But what you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth determines salvation or damnation. There's another scripture, and I don't have it in my mind right now, but it says, from the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. If there's hate, evil, discontent, strife, whatever you want to call it, in there, that's what's coming out. And you're going to keep confessing it and confessing it and professing it and owning it as yours. And it's going to steer your life somewhere you don't want to go. But I told you, your words have power. You can literally change what you're saying and change the course or direction of your life, as long as you believe it in your heart. Remember, it starts with belief. We're building blocks. We're building upon. Your words will transmit either faith or fear. Because the Lord is your strength, you have nothing to fear. Speak faith only. We must be in agreement, however, with what God's Word says. So you have to agree with this. Not your favorite part of it. All of it. We have to agree, and we have to say it. When you guys, you see the elders up here praying every Sunday morning before we pray, we come together in agreement with God's Word, and we basically say, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to shepherd this flock. Move us out of the way. Your will be done. Strengthen us. Speak through us. Use us. We're claiming that in Jesus' name because we know He will do that work through us if we move out of the way. And that is in agreement with God's Word. So my confession must be in alignment with the Word of God. And when I speak, I will see the manifestation of that. So when you're out of harmony of God, your speech will be polluted. Negative speaking hinders God's desire to bring His Word to pass in your life. Here's a little scripture from Malachi. It says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. It's Malachi 2:17. You have wearied the Lord. You have made Him tired with your words. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied Him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? When we question and we don't claim, we weary the Lord. The power of agreement is released when you speak in line with God's Word. So I guess what I want you to know is confession isn't just, like I was raised Catholic, so it's not just going after your fourth grade and older to a priest and saying, hey, I did this, 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 and this. Right? That's part of it, is confessing sins to one another. But it's also claiming what you believe gladly. It's professing it with your mouth. And if you don't know what you believe, it's going to be really, really hard for you to confess it. So you have to start with your belief. We're going to go back to Romans in just a second. Yeah, just flip over to the right. Go to Romans 10:9. We're going to read Romans 10:9 and 10. Says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Look at 10 though. For it is written, or it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, Paul's writing to this group of people that they had heard about the Jews. They have seen the Jews. They've been in their presence. And they've heard about all the fence laws and all the things you're supposed to do. You got to wash your hands a certain way at a different time. You got to use one cup, a different cup. You got to
There's so many rules. And that's what they've been hearing. I got to sacrifice this on this day. I can't eat this on this day. I got to do this. I got to walk this way. I got to pray this prayer at this time. Paul wants to simplify it for everyone. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Guys, I told you we have a harvest. We're words away from a harvest. These words will produce a harvest. Not just for you, but for the world. These words alone. And it says, for it is written that your heart, that you believe you are justified. Because of what is in here, there is justification. Now that may not mean much, but think about all of the sin you've done today. This week, this month, this year, last year, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Think of all of that sin. And because of what you believe about God, you are justified, which means it's not there anymore. He has judged you and found you clean because the Christ has found you here in the confession that you've made. Now, it's not a one-time confession and then you're done. It's a daily activity. It's a, I confess this, I confess this, I believe this, I'm showing this through my actions. Okay? Please don't think I said, once saved, always saved. I did not say that. I can show you many scriptures where you can walk away from the Lord's grace if you so choose. But if you are confessing with your mouth daily that Jesus is the Lord and his dwelling in your heart is always there, you are going to have a great life. Your harvest is on its way. The Lord will pass by your tree and pluck and eat from the fruit. But if you're not, I'm worried about you. And I don't want him to come back until we can talk. I'm confessing the future. I'm owning the future. I'm claiming the future. Because I know the Lord is going to do a work in our community. I'm just claiming it right now. And in God's name, that we are going to be able to be this tree that as he walks by, we'll be able to grab some fruit. We are going to be fruitful and multiply. Just as Adam and Eve were instructed. As Noah and his descendants were instructed. We're going to be able to multiply his grace through our confessions. So do you believe the words you speak? Or do you just say them? And if you do believe, all you have to do is say them. If you've read the Bible much and you've done much Bible study, you understand that Jesus chose his words carefully. When he spoke, there were several different words for that had this almost the same meaning. You know, I told you there's a different word for love. There's two or three different words for love. But he would choose the exact word for what he meant. So if that means you talk a little bit slower because you're choosing your words carefully, exactly what you mean, do it. Because you can't get them back. I was going to bring a plate up here and throw it on the ground and tell it I was sorry, but it was still broken. Right? You can see it in your head now. I don't want to break a plate. All right? Those are like your words. If you throw a plate on the ground and it shatters and you pick it up and say, oh, I'm sorry. It's still broken. It doesn't change anything. Even if you're in your heart, you're sorry. It came out. That's why there's so many scriptures about controlling and taming our tongue. Do I get it right every time? No. Do sometimes things miss the filter? Yeah. But through Christ, I can be forgiven for those. I just pray we're not that fig tree that he walks by and he sees no fruit hanging on it. Which I don't think we are. But to prevent it, you need to know how to. And the very first way you can do it is to speak positivity. To claim Christ as your king. And to profess it to one another. And this time through your words. Speak the word of God only. And remember, what we confess, we possess.
It's so important to understand that what we say is what we own. Your words will be tied to you to eternity. We're going to have to give an account for every single one of them that comes out of our mouths. And I'm not telling you that to scare you. I'm telling you that so you understand the importance. Every single thing that comes out, whether it has any meaning whatsoever or not, you're going to give an account for. Now, I know some of you want to be a deaf-mute monk. That's just not the way we're going to live. Be careful. Understand the importance of the words. Choose them carefully. Make a mental note when you speak to make sure it lines up with God's word. It has to line up. Let the Holy Spirit guide your conversations. Today, this day, begin to frame your future with the words that you speak. Take time to understand their importance, to use them wisely. You can shout to the rooftops, "I am blessed, I am healed, I am whole, I am complete in Christ." Do you guys see the smile that came on my face? I didn't make that smile. That was just the positivity coming out. "I am not the head. I'm an overcomer. I cannot fail. I am priceless. I am bought with the blood of Christ. I am chosen of God. I am highly favored of the Lord. My future is bright. I operate in the promise of God." And my favorite one, and I just jotted it down, "How great thou art." I don't always speak in King James, but that's one of my favorite songs. It's just, how great is God? Profess it. Tell one another, confess it, so that you can possess it. I know it's a lot of S's. You need to own what comes out. Because either way, they're tied to you. So as we walk through building on our faith, you have to be able to see it, right? You have to be able to see what you're building. And you're going to build this solid foundation, and you're going to start with belief. All right? Your solid foundation is going to start on the belief that God is the creator of the universe. He is who He says He is, and He sent His Son to die for you. And through that, 3 days later, He raised Him up from the dead. He lives in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father, and one day He's coming back. And when He comes back, I want Him to find a bunch of fig trees at Open Arms Christian Church with a bunch of fruit. That's my confession. And I'm going to own it. So I'm going to have the elders come up and part of the praise team. And I think we're going to sing another song. But I want to know, what are you confessing today? You don't have to come up here and give me a list of your sins for this week, because I'll just match them. I'll give you mine. But you can come up and say, "What are you saying? Hey, can I need prayer?" Let's go to the Lord together in agreement with one another. Let us pray for you today. Let us help you know what to confess and how to profess. So if you would stand, and we're going to sing this last song.